Turn to Genesis chapter 15, if you would. Genesis chapter 15. By way of brief review from this morning, and for the ones who weren't here this morning, we were looking at Samson, a man who had great potential. He started off with great promise, and things kind of went to pot because of Samson's own stupidity. We read in chapters 14 that he went down, started off in a bad direction. He went to Timnath, which was in Philistine country, but just over the border, not a big step across the line, just a little bit, but it was across the border. He saw a woman, he began to be attracted, and we saw how one thing led to another. He then insisted on her for his wife, and he demanded to have her as his wife, and the reason was, she looks good to me, that's the way I want to go. And then one thing led to another, and he had major, major problems. And what we realize this morning is that, number one, God will have his way. He will do what he chooses to do because he is sovereign. And I have a choice, each one of us have a choice, to either go with his will or go against it. God will have his way, and when we go with his will, things will work out for our good and for our eventual reward. If we go against his will, God will still have his way. He will do exactly what he planned to, but it'll be for our loss if we fight his will. And then secondly, thirdly, we realized from this morning that the sooner we realize that we're on a downhill course, the better. Samson, if he had stopped as he was headed toward Philistine country, starting out that bright, fine morning, if he had stopped right then, or once he was in Timnath, whoops, what am I doing here? Back out. Or once he began to feel himself falling in love with this Philistine woman, now this is no place for an Israelite to be. Back off. Anywhere he could have stopped, and he didn't. He continued, things got worse and worse and worse. And as we see, we'll see from today, this evening's two chapters, Samson continued in this downhill course, and things continued to get worse. I read a story in Time magazine a few months ago. This is from Time magazine, July 11, 1988. Like many teenagers on a Friday night, James Cooney needed a car to pick up his girlfriend. He borrowed his good friend Barry Booten's father's Chevrolet, banged it into a pole, and racked up $900 worth of body damage. That could have ended there. I'm sorry, sir, I borrowed your car. There's $900 worth of damage. I'll work to try and get it paid off. Instead, he and his friends, over the next 48 hours, he and his friends, who had never been in trouble before, played out every parent's nightmare. Frantic to get the car repaired before Booten's father returned from a weekend fishing trip, Cooney and Booten, 18, called three other classmates from Fordham Prep, a school from which they were graduating on June 3. About 1 a.m. last Sunday, the five headed off in Jason Katanik's mother's Chrysler with three ski masks and a .22 caliber rifle. They drove to a late-night grocery where Cooney held up the owner for $140. Buoyed by their success, the boys rode around looking for someone else to rob, shooting out the windows of about six empty cars before pulling alongside an auto parked on a desert street with a couple inside. Cooney leaned out the window of the Chrysler, pointed the rifle in the driver's face, and demanded his wallet. He then fired two shots in the side of the car, and the boy's luck ran out. The driver turned out to be an off-duty policeman. Ducking down, the officer drew his .38 pistol, stuck it out the window, and fired five times. At least one shot hit Cooney square in the face, four more bullets strafed the Chrysler as it sped away, Cooney dying in the front seat. Still thinking a cover-up possible, the panicked boys dumped Cooney's body in the thick weeds and pledged one another to secrecy. They burned one boy's blood-stained clothing and somehow managed to get a replacement for the bullet-pocked rear window of the Chrysler. For almost 3 days, the boys acted as if nothing had happened. Silence even in the face of Cooney's disappearance. Then Bhutan told his girlfriend, who notified police. Bhutan and Kantarik were arrested on charges of armed robbery, attempted robbery, and attempted murder. Brendan Moynihan, 16, and Danny Florio, 17, who reportedly cowered on the floor of the back seat, jackets over their heads during the robberies, have not yet been charged. And they go on to discuss the crime. They said all five boys were headed for college in the fall. When we find we're going in the wrong direction, and yes, we all do from time to time, the time to turn around or the time to stop is the first moment we realize things are on the wrong track. This is what Samson could have done, but he didn't. He made a little choice, stayed with it, kept going on and on and on. Let's pick up the story now in chapter 15, verse 1. But it came to pass within a while, and a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. Incidentally, in the previous chapter, in the last verse, it says, Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. The NASB says, who had been his friend. I think perhaps there's another little lesson for us here as Christians. Our close friendships should be with the people of God. Samson chose his friends among the Philistines. And when things went to pot, we hear who had been his friend. And if we choose our friendships, our close friendships in the world, we should not look for lasting relationships. And that's exactly what Samson ran into here. His friend dumped him, took his wife, and he was gone. After a while, Samson, and I think this shows a little bit of insight again into Samson's personality, that apparently never occurs to him this whole thing may be over. And he says, I'm going to go to my wife and get my wife. Never even occurs to him that the whole thing may be finished. Feel sorry for her dad here. He comes out here and meets this powerful brute of a man. Realizing he's no match to handle him physically, he tries a little psychology, and her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Well, Samson wasn't at all impressed by the approach, and Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burned up the shocks, also the standing corn, with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he hath taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged, and after that I will cease. Again, we see the frustration of this man, a man who had chosen to go his own way and not depend upon God, a man who became self-sufficient in the gifts that God had given him. Here, the very people that were frustrating him have been put to death, but he says, I'm still frustrated, I'm still angry, and I'm going to do more. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt on the top of the rock Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson we are come up, to do him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went up to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, impressive, isn't that? 3,000 men to get one man. Quite a man, wasn't he? Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so I have done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, and that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they swear unto him. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Again, remember what we were saying this morning, success does not prove that we are living totally the way that God would have us to. For instance, God's word will not return void. And if I quote a verse of scripture, someone can be saved through that, but that is not a stamp of God's approval on the way I'm living. God will have his way. He's sovereign. These things that Samson was doing along the way, there are major problems with it, but God had promised he would begin to deliver the Philistines out of their, deliver the Israelites out of the Philistines' hand, and this is exactly what he began to do, and God worked through him. So the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, the cords that were on his arms became as flax that were burned with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the name of the Lord, and said, here we have one of Samson's prayers, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So here's the story of Samson over the first part of his life. He's made some wrong choices. He went down, went just across the border to Timnath. There's been problems, but he's still a man in control. 20 years go by now, so we pick up the story of Samson again. And this is what we read. Then Samson went down to Gaza. Now, Gaza wasn't like Timnath, just across the border. It was deep in Philistine territory. He had to go a long ways to get to Gaza. He had to go through a lot of Philistine territory. Here's Samson, initially just across the border, just a little bit involved with the Philistines. Now, 20 years later, he's deep into Philistine territory. And saw there an harlot and went in unto her. 20 years before, Samson, that promising young man, had gone just across the border and had seen a beautiful young Philistine girl and wanted to marry her honorably, wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to marry her, set up a family, quote, the right thing. But now he's continued this downward path. And where do we find him? Deep into Philistine territory, looking for a prostitute. Here was this man who could have been such a great power for God. And we see how far he has fallen and how far he has gone. A little peek across the border has become a brazen choice. A little titillation has become a calloused conscience. A little trickle has become a stream. Again, what can we learn from this, fellow Christians, fellow believers? The best time to stop the direction we're going, if we see that it's the wrong direction, is when we realize it is the wrong direction. I've talked to people who, Christians, who've gotten away from the Lord early in the game and said, look, stop now. Stop now before anything gets any worse. I remember one case specifically where the person did not do that. Things got worse and worse and worse. Destroyed the family, ruined her life, ruined her children's lives, that person had only stopped at the first moment she realized, I'm on the wrong road. And here's Samson, initially just a little bit of going in the wrong direction. Now he's deep into enemy territory. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the city with the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carry them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. What a man. Lift up the gates of the city, put them on his shoulders, and walk off. No wonder this guy was self-confident. But you know what? He was forgetting that his strength came from God. This is what we'll find a little later. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. You know, the impression I get from this is now this is so much part of Samson's life going into the Philistine territory that he's very comfortable with it. You know, been to Gaza. Now he's going to go on somewhere else. He's going to, oh, here's a nice young lady, you know. I'll take up with her for a while. Just part of Samson. You're the person who's supposed to be delivering the Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. There's a friend of ours, Ken Swartz, who works at Caterpillar in York. And whenever someone there does something sort of foolish, like hitting their thumb with a hammer, someone nearby is liable to quote the saying that's very common there. Well, if you're dumb, you've got to be tough. If you're dumb, you've got to be tough. Samson, if you're dumb, you better be tough. Things are going the wrong direction. And here he is. He's very comfortable going back and forth to the Philistine country. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him therewith. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and said unto him, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson! And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth a fire, so his strength was not known. Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me with new ropes that have never been occupied, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson! And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web. Looks to me like he's weakening. He's starting to talk about his hair now. Hasn't told a secret yet. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with a pin of the beam and with a web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? You know, if Samson had been thinking, that statement should have rocked him to his boots. How can you say you love me? This is a heathen woman talking to him. Samson, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? She could see his heart wasn't with him, with her. No, his heart apparently was wanting to, at least to a certain extent, to serve his God and serve his people. He was there just for kicks, just having fun, just playing around. His heart wasn't with her. You know, that statement should have shaken him to his boots. You know, sometimes as Christians, as we drift, and unfortunately sometimes we do, perhaps it takes a statement by a non-Christian to shake us. I remember hearing a story one time about I believe it was a woman, who felt that the place to win people for the Lord was in taverns, have a beer with them, get things going and getting people relaxed, and then talk to them about the Lord. She tried it. And the moment she opened her mouth about the Lord, they said, well, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. I said, well, what are you doing here? Maybe we should listen to what the world has to say about us sometimes. Samson, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? heart of a true child of God can never be with someone who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. And he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. Samson, you're awful dumb. I hope you're tough. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand. They knew this was it. And she made him sleep on her knees. Samson, Samson, what are you doing there? You're the man who was promised ahead of time, the one who was going to deliver Israel, begin to deliver Israel. You're the mighty man, the powerful man. And here you are, asleep with your head on the knees of a heathen woman. What can we learn from this? We cannot tempt God and then expect his deliverance when we know we've gone the wrong direction. Have you seen pictures of Impala on television where they show a very peaceful pastoral scene in Africa, and here's these beautiful Impala grazing along on the savannah open country. But in the among the trees nearby is a lion, and you can see it there at the side. You can see it down on the ground, and you can see it getting ready to pounce. And the Impala drift closer and closer, totally unaware of danger. They're upwind from the lion, totally unaware, until suddenly there's a leap, and the lion leaps out, grabs an Impala, and that's the end of that Impala. You know, I think that's a warning to us as Christians as we see this very thing happen to Samson. You know, Satan will allow us. He'll give us slack. Yeah, maybe we know we shouldn't be doing it, but, well, it's kind of fun and I can pull back at any time. Yeah, I know I'm deep in Philistine country. Yeah, I know I got my head on the knees of a heathen woman, but I am Samson. I can handle it. Samson, Samson. Disaster is near. It's almost upon you. And suddenly there's that moment of truth. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Verse 19 again, she made him sleep on her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson! And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. What a sad statement. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. We cannot tempt God and expect to get away with it. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters, and he did grind in the prison house. Poor, poor Samson, so self-sufficient, forgetting that his power, his strength was of God, and the only strength he had was by obeying God and doing what God wanted him to do. Here he was flirting with the enemy. You know, I think it's interesting, we talked this morning about the name Samson means like the sun, brilliant, very powerful. You know, the word Delilah means delicate. Here was this man who single-handedly had killed 1,000 people for the jawbone of an ass. A man that people were so scared of that it took 3,000 Israelites to come and to bind him. 3,000 to 1. And who brought him down? Delicate. Delilah. My fellow Christian, don't underestimate the power of the flesh and the power of Satan and the power of the world. God gives us the rules by which we should live. And when we ignore them, we do so to our detriment. Yes, God will have his way. And God did begin to work through Samson, did begin to deliver the Israelites out of the Philistines' hand. But my, oh my, it was to Samson's sorrow that he turned away from God. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. What a misstatement. But you know, if we do go the wrong way in our lives, it brings the Lord's name into disrepute. If nothing else should stop us, that should. Our God, Dagon, is the one who has delivered Samson into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered our enemy into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson. You know, that phrase, call for Samson, should have been used for, the Philistines are coming. We need help. Call for Samson. Things are tough. The enemy is just about here. Call for Samson, our deliverer. Poor Samson. Because of his wandering away from God, taking for granted what God had given him, this call for Samson was so that he could make a clown of himself and make the enemies of God's people laugh. Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and he set them between the pillars. What an ignominious end for this person who could have been such a great, great man, if he had just continued to follow God, to do the things that he knew he should have done, to shun the things that he knew he should have shunned. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. You know, there's only two recorded prayers of Samson. We read one of them in chapter 15, one when he thought he was going to die of thirst. And here another time, the second time, when his back was against the wall. The only two times that we read of him praying to his God, both times when things are really in the pit. Keep your finger in Judges and turn to Daniel, if you would, please. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. This was a time of stress, a time where no one was supposed to pray to anyone other than King Darius. Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, turned toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What a difference between Daniel and Samson. Yes, Daniel prayed in a time of stress, and Samson did too, but Daniel did far more than that. Three times a day, as he always did, he went and prayed. My fellow Christian, do we spend time in prayer the way we should? Or is it only when things are getting tough that we go to the Lord? He wants us to fellowship with Him day by day. Enjoy His presence. Yes, go to Him in times where things are rough, when the storms come rolling in. But fellowship with Him at other times, regularly. Go to Him in prayer. And here, then we finish the story of how Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, one of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And he said, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell on the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Yes, God began to deliver the Israelites out of the Philistines' hand. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came up and took him and brought him and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So here's the story of Samson. Yes, he was a man of faith, but he didn't amount to nearly what he could have amounted to. And what can we learn by it? We learn that God is sovereign. He will have his way. We have learned also that success does not mean God's stamp of approval on everything we're doing. God's word is powerful, and he will work through it, and God is sovereign. He will work through it. But there is no substitute for walking day by day with the Lord. Thirdly, we have learned that you fall the way you lean. I have this pencil here, and if I let go, we all know which way it's going to go, because it falls the way it leans. If we lean away from God, that's the way we're going to fall. So again, a lesson that we can learn. Watch the direction that we're going. We've learned also that the road of self-will is a hard one. The Lord said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the easy way to go. Yes, there are tough times. I'm not saying there aren't tough times, but it's far, far easier than going the way of the world. Read a story one time about Stonewall Jackson, who got a message late one evening that General Lee wanted to see him. He said, not a matter of any great importance, but sometime when you're coming this way, please stop by. I need to discuss something with you. And the next morning, Stonewall Jackson rose early and in a raging snowstorm, got on his horse, and went the 8 miles to the headquarters of General Lee. And General Lee was surprised to see him. He said, it's no big thing. Just sometime when you're in the area, I want to talk to you. And the answer of Stonewall Jackson was this: General Lee's slightest wish is a supreme command to me. General Lee's slightest wish is a supreme command to me. My brother and sister, this is the opportunity that you and I have as we live our lives here on earth. The slightest wish of our commander is a supreme command to us. That's the good way to go. That's the wise way to go. That's the successful way to go, with his will, in his direction. Fifthly, we learn from all of this a real word of encouragement. Knowing that God is sovereign, that God will have his way, we don't need to get bothered and sued about things that seem to be going the wrong way. And yes, there's a lot in this world that's going the wrong direction right now, it seems. A lot of problems. But brother and sister, we don't have to be worried about that. God is sovereign. Yes, he raised up Pharaoh for this specific purpose. I put you here at this moment, at this time. Yes, I know you're hard-hearted, but I'm going to show my power through you. God is sovereign. And as we quietly yield our lives to him, walking with him day by day, one day we can stand before him and hear his well done and look back and see how he had everything worked out and have the joy of growing with him. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Isn't that a lovely way to go? A lovely way to live in the almighty hand of God. I'd like to sing a couple more songs in closing.
One step more, my baby, one step more. never fear, He is near.
Trusting the Lord day by day. He's sovereign. He's in control. We can flow with His will and see Him work through us through the ups, through the downs, and see Him use us for His honor and glory, one step at a time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pause in Your holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for Your immense love. We thank You for not abandoning us. First of all, above all, to send Your Son to be our Savior. And then, Father, we thank You that You've given us the privilege of being able to name the name of Christ and serve Him day by day. And Father, we readily realize that so often we tend to drift and we wander off and our eyes get attracted by the things around us and we don't have our eyes upon our Savior. Father, we want His slightest wish to be our supreme command. Father, we want our lives to count for You. Father, we thank You for each one of Your children who's gathered here this evening, taken time from busy schedules to open Your Word and to learn from it. We thank You for this testimony here. We thank You for the busy work of so many Christians and of the assembly as a whole. Think of all these announcements of things that are coming up through the week. We thank You, Father, for busy Christians serving You. And we pray Your blessing upon these events, that they will result in strengthening of Christians and of people being saved and finding Your Son as Savior. Father, as we go out and face another week tomorrow, may we do so in Your strength, knowing that the best way, overall certainly the easy way, compared to any other way, the only way to go is obeying You, turning from evil, doing what we know is right, and seeing You work through us. Father, we thank You for this privilege of being able to serve You. We pray Your blessing upon each one. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, our magnificent Savior. We pray in His name. Amen.